It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power. It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Well, we'll try this again. Okay. We had two intros this morning because when I started talking, we had no signal going out. Man, I'm telling you, it's crazy around here sometimes.
Yeah.
What the enemy can do to throw a monkey wrench in things and unstring us is you can't even think of all the things he might do. But we are on and we are going. This is the Hour of Power. And I'm Neva Pyatt, and Monica's over there running the iPad and over here pushing and twisting, pulling all the cords, trying to get us on. Whew, it's a fun day. Our guest today, Karen Johnson, we haven't seen you in a while.
I know. I don't know. Well, I have been ill, actually, and I'm just now coming around.
I see.
One thing after another.
Well, I understand that.
What was that?
That was a little
something
Miller.
Something just flew by.
Yeah. It was a little Miller or something.
A miniature angel.
That's what it was. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and about halfway through the program, we'll stop and we'll pray for those needs. Or you can send it to our texting line, 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, right?
Yeah.
Monica's giving me the thumbs up. We appreciate our sponsors so much. They've been so faithful to hang in here with us, some of them for years. You know, Karen, you remember back, Grant's Auction has been on since the beginning.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's
been 16 years or so ago. Yeah. So we have faithful sponsors. Rick Spain's been on a long time, too, maybe 12 years or 13 years.
That's like commitment.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So we appreciate that. We do record in two parts, and we'll put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, when the program's over. If you have someone that doesn't have Facebook and you want to send them there, send them to that website, have them click on the Hour of Power, and then go to the day that they missed. And I think maybe I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out, Karen?
Yeah. Father God, we just love you so much. And we're so grateful that you are our Father and that we can come to you with all our needs before, and you know them before we even ask. But Lord, it's just such a comfort to know that you're there and your Holy Spirit is there. And Christ is forever watching over us and leading us to souls that need to be saved and to hear a witness or a testimony. Father God, we just lift up this program, and Lord, we just pray over all the electronics and the video, and just pray for smooth sailing today, that the enemy cannot interfere and cannot cause hindrances. We bind him in Christ's name, and Lord, we loose your presence and the fruit of the Spirit. May we flow in the living water of the river of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And your title, Prepare for the Lord is Coming.
Yes.
Amen.
I had a divine visitation back in July of 2021 at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I didn't know what to do with it. I just like, God, why me? Okay. But I thanked him very much for talking to me in such a divine, way because, you know, Revelation 4 says, come up here, you know, and talk to me, visit with me. And I've prayed that a lot, but it doesn't always happen like you're actually going up there and talking to him. Mm-hmm. And he spoke very clearly. And he had two scrolls in his hands, and there was angelic, strong angelic presence. And he just said, prepare my people, for I am coming soon, very soon. And, well, it just so gives me chills all over that there is something about, and I revisited, because I was kind of frozen in that word prepare. Because I've done a lot of preparation and obedience to the Lord's unction and getting saved, getting delivered, getting free of things, renewing my mind and knowing I am translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I just, so I'm asking God, what do I need to do more to prepare? And he said, tell my people to prepare. So I'm going on this show today to cast that out in the airwaves that there is something up. And he is saying, and I'm not the only one he's spoken to, by the way, but when it's one-on-one and you get a personal invitation to tell the people to prepare, I even looked up the word in the dictionary, and it does mean to literally put your things in order. And to and I immediately laying there last night, I thought about a recipe and how you have to have all the ingredients in order to make a cake or a salad or a dish. And that's probably my understanding of preparing other than moving, mm-hmm. physically moving mm-hmm. and getting rid of stuff that doesn't belong or, you know, just cleansing your house of stuff. But the word prepare is a interesting thing. So I was asking the Lord how to convey that, and he led me to Gwen Shaw's little book about Behold, the Bridegroom Cometh, and it's about the soon return of Jesus Christ. And most of Paul's epistles, especially in Thessalonians, he talked about and told them, stay vigilant, watchful, prayerful, and know that he is coming back. So I think the point for me is, have we dropped the ball on sanctification? Hmm. Have we, as a church, we've done a form of godliness, denying the power thereof in lots of ways. And there's little churches around that are on fire and are following after Christ. But sometimes you can get caught up in tradition and too much stuff. And I'm constantly reminded that, and I tell people a lot, that Israel missed Jesus because they were stuck in their old ways. They weren't looking for the new presentation of how he's going to come back. And, you know, we can go there in lots of different ways, and it's been analyzed and written about from a bunch of people. But I think the hook to the message today is, if God asked you, did you learn to love? Mm. And after watching Will Smith on the Oscars the other night, I didn't watch the whole show. I just watched his video replay of his cry that, you know, he is a Christian. And he was saying that he feels he's answering a call to tell people to love. And I thought, well, that's really a confirmation for me, Lord, because here he is in a very worldly venue, a very secular thing, and he's on there and he's weeping, and he's saying that we have got to get a hold of this thing called love. And I think, what greater preparation for the coming king, if a bridegroom's coming for his bride, than to learn to love unconditionally, to love no matter how much offense, how much pain, how much is thrown at us. And it's going to get crazy in the days ahead. We have to admit that. I mean, we have to see that that's going to get more turbulent, more difficult, more chaos, more confusion. We know that's coming. And whether it's global collapse or financial or however it comes at us, you know, I even thought, because I love to cook and stuff, and I mean, would I give my last bite of food or my last loaf of bread to someone who was really hungry? And that, you know, would I go without? You know, because that's an act of obedience. That's an act of love to care for other people. Mm-hmm. And the other hook is obedience to God and His Word, no matter what the price. And I got kind of trapped or caught up in a situation, and it took a lot for me to, my flesh, nefesh it's called in Hebrew, to lay that stuff down, lay my flesh down. I don't think you can do it in the natural. You have to do it in the supernatural. Well, it goes, it so happens that someone I dearly love ended up in January being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she's somebody that's done mission trips with me, gone to Israel with me, somebody that I trust dearly, has prayed for me and my household, has been a wonderful witness to me. And she is my brother's wife, Nancy Holdorf, Holdorf. And tomorrow she'll get a word from her oncologist about what they're going to do with the Whipple surgery to try to save her or what will happen. But that was a crushing blow for me, because she was always in the wings. She was always there encouraging me and giving me strength in prayer, that sometimes there's just some things you can't talk about to everybody. And you need a confidential covenant prayer partner. And she was that for me. And anyway, I'd like those who are listening to remember her in prayer, because tomorrow she meets with her surgeon. But anyway, that was something that set me back. And I thought, oh, God, if anybody has taught me to love, her witness that she was an absolute unconditional believer in Jesus Christ, nothing would deter her witness or her speech and her character and her behavior other than to tell everyone she met about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the preparation. Mm-hmm. How many people have we witnessed to lately? How many, I mean, we are looking at the end. Mm-hmm. And is everybody in your household saved? You know? And are we a part of a wicked lamp, or are we part of a burning on fire lamp for the Lord? And I think that we've slipped into such apathy and complacency at times that, you know, that we have been ensnared by the enemy to cause our own division, cause our own weakness. Because you lose power when you don't obey the commandments of God to love one another. And even Mike Bickle was convinced of the message and the timing to give for the next three years. He's teaching on John 14 through 17. And he's the head of IHOP in not International House of Pancakes, but International House of Prayer. And if you look that up, you can literally look his notes up and get the message he's sending out on John and what God is showing him as he sets this part of his life aside to really get an understanding of how do we have unity and how do we love one another. Because the greatest preparation, if you can answer that question at the gate, did you learn to love one another? And as you know, we've been hit with all kinds of stuff and challenges, Christians. And I think the biggest challenge is to teach people to pray instead of gossip, malign, and slander. And the apathy has caused our flesh to control us and not the spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a big one, Lord. Mm. Thank you. And whoa. And so I just wanted to put that out there for you to really bow your knee. Mm-hmm. And get on your face and ask the Lord to cleanse you, to heal your heart, to let it go. Let it go. Let all the offenses, all the pain. And you haven't let it go unless you let God heal the heart. And God's got to take those damaged emotions, those triggers, out of your mind, will, and emotions in order for you to be able to reach out and see a relationship restored. And believe me, I'm not saying it's easy. I'd be the last one. Mm-hmm. But I've done enough counseling. I've done enough ministry. And seeing that this is probably paramount in preparing for the second coming of Christ. And a famous prophet, a true prophet, he's gone to be with the Lord. But he was so in tune with God that was the last question God asked him before he took him home. It was Bob Jones. And he said, "Bob, have you learned how to love my people?" Yeah, even when it's really hard. And when somebody's screaming at you or yelling at you or accusing you of stuff, I mean, that accuser does a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
And to recognize that it's an accusation of the enemy and it's coming through a filter of a person, but it's ultimately from Satan himself and the dark spirits. So that happens when there's weaknesses in the person, in the vessel, that they've opened their door to the enemy, and so the enemy can use them. So if you have sin in your life, then you need to check it at the door. Mm-hmm. You really need to sit aside. And believe me, no one is free of sin. I mean, I don't care how strong a Christian you are. There was a lady of a prayer ministry down in Altus, and she was probably in her 80s. And I had lunch with her one day, and she said, you know, God convicted me to get a pad and paper out and get in quiet alone for a day and to sit before him and start writing everything he shows me about the sin in my life. She said, I had gotten self-righteous. I had gotten that I don't have any sin. I'm the head of a prayer ministry. You know, that kind of stuff. And so when she did, she had 75 different areas that God convicted her of that she needed to wash with the water of the word and be cleansed. I mean, she was astounded. Mm-hmm. She was taken back. So she was just saying the enemy doesn't play fair. He's pretty sneaky. And we get sucked into thinking, you know, we're pretty spiritual. Mm-hmm. We're doing a pretty good job. However,
mean we're not?
Yeah. Each one of us is doing a job and we're trying to do our best, but those hooks can get in us pretty quick. And so I just thought it was the first on her list was that she said comfort one another. And sometimes that's even hard to do, to comfort. But the Holy Spirit does the comforting. And the cry of the one who loves the Lord is that he might soon return. The early church lived in expectation of the Lord's imminent return. And interesting enough, a lukewarm Laodicean church does not preach that Christ is returning.
Really?
When was the last time you heard it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they talked about it every day, the early church. That was their expectation. They wanted to stay so clean, so right, and ready with white robes on kind of thing that they didn't want to miss the return. They had that much expectancy in their spirit that they did not want to violate anything in their walk to hinder getting to go with the Lord. Hmm. I mean, of course, the blood of Jesus covers us, and when he sees us as righteous, but there is something about the sanctification, I think, that we need to revisit and examine, because without that, without being clean before the Lord and with each other, we can't have unity. There's no transparency. There's no trust. You have to have trust.
Right.
And so, you know, I just did a Zoom relationship seminar this past weekend, and boy, did they hit the nail on the head, and it was more like you know, what hinders weight loss or what causes addictions or that kind of thing. And it was primarily that usually you have to examine the relationships that are damaged, that are causing you emotional pain, that causes you triggers to overeat or do drugs or whatever. So anyway, I just thought that was really interesting because we, our intimate relationship with God does the same thing. Neil Anderson did a beautiful chart in his Freedom in Christ, Steps to Freedom in Christ, about acknowledging truth in our Father God. And if renouncing lies and laying hold of truth. So if you are literally holding on to a lie, and I'm finding this more and more because I've gotten the courage to ask people, how did you interpret that? Or did you take on an offense from that? Or did you believe the good? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a negative mindset, or if you've been rejected, or you have issues, or have depression, which a lot of people seem to have, then it seems to hook you even more. And the enemy can use you to cause even more pain, unfortunately. But God told Gwen Shaw years ago, and this little booklet was written probably 30 years ago, because she's gone to be with the Lord. It says to admonish one another. Number two, comfort one another is number one, and then two, prepare one another. Well, how do you do that? I believe we need to remind and admonish one another about the soon return of the Lord. In your letters, on your envelopes, on your bumper stickers, on your walls, and in your speech, always let this important and vital truth come out. Oh, sorry. So it's very important and very vital truth to come out. Let the world know that they have an appointment with God. Let the Christian know that Jesus is coming soon. Warn the backslider. There are children and loved ones in your family who are not ready.
You know, that's the thing that's so concerning to me. It's so easy for me to speak to one of our tenants and talk to them, invite them to church. But it isn't that easy to speak to your close family.
No.
And it shouldn't be that way at all. And it shouldn't be that hard at all. But it is. You know, it's like, well, they know we go to church every week. So, you know, there's no need in inviting them because they know what time church is. And, I mean, that's a lie. That's not a lie of the enemy. They do know when church is, but it's a lie of the enemy thinking it's not important to say, why don't you join us for church today?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then there's the sincerity, which I've been convicted of, because none of our adult children go to church. And they lost faith in that a long time ago, but they do believe in a God. We have a son who got saved, and we have another son that got saved, but they don't necessarily want to jump on the church bandwagon. Mm-hmm. You know, my son does acts of kindness and is a counselor and a teacher, and he serves all the time at a Christian school. Mm-hmm. But
he doesn't go to church.
No, he prays. So, you know, a lot of people who are so busy seem to fit it in. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing. You know, it's just one of those, how the next generation looks at church and why there's a great falling away. Mm-hmm. That we have six churches in Western Oklahoma that don't have a pastor. Baptist churches. It's dying. I mean, it's not good. Mm-hmm. And so have you hooked on to something that people don't think is real? So, I mean, going to church doesn't mean much to anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, show me the love. Show me the sincerity. Show me how much you love me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. Or where's the power of the gospel? You hear that a lot. Have you dropped the ball on the real, true message of Christ? And to have compassion, to comfort, takes a lot of energy and time. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes seems and appears to be work. You know? I mean, there are people who are judging and examining you every minute of the day. And so that was one thing. That's don't get angry with a backslidden, cold members of your family. Be heartbroken. It is better to cry for them than to be angry for them. They are blind. They cannot come unless the Spirit of God calls them, draws them. And that's another area the enemy's pretty tricky, because you think, you know, I've tried and tried and tried and tried, I'm done. You know, you hear that anymore, I'm done. Well, God's never done, thank goodness. Thank God he's never given up on me. I mean, it was a tough case, and I know God kept drawing me and drawing me. He called my name, he knocked at my door, he put me in a glow. He did so many things to show me his love for me, because I had grown very cold, because I was raised in a very religious situation. So it's kind of like, where are you, God? But if you cry out and say, I want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, he will show up. Mm-hmm. he does show up. Number three was exhort one another. But exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, in Hebrews 3:13. The anointed words of exhortation will rebuke the cold and lukewarm and will edify the one who is going through the trials and testings. Mention it when you testify in church or to friends. Get copies of material that you can hand out. Really good gospel tracts, but make sure that they're not religious. Never get tired of preaching the message of the second coming of Jesus. It is the message of the hour. You will be right on schedule with the Lord's program for these days. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Wait for his coming. Direct your heart unto the patient waiting for the Lord. Zero in on this message and prepare with all diligence for his soon arrival. Now, I have to confess, this is not an easy message for me, because I don't know that I've ever heard someone tell me that. I mean, I'm 74 years old, so I'm thinking, golly day, we have. I mean, I don't think any of our kids probably have heard a message about the second coming, nor do they understand the book of Revelation or the rapture or any of that. I mean, it's kind of interesting, because I probably need to pray more. Well, how much more, God? How much more do you pray? You pray a lot. I mean, they pray 3 or 4 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I mean, he was in the Word all the time. I mean, he really got the wisdom of the Lord. And we desperately need wisdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 8 and 9 about wisdom. But I had somebody come up to me at church and said, Garrett, you study Proverbs. You need to get on Proverbs. You need to find out about Proverbs. And I'm going, okay.
And why did they bring that message to you?
I have no idea.
Did you search your
heart?
They
just kept working, walking away. I mean, it's just like they came up, said it, left. Huh. So that happens to me a lot. Go ye out to meet, go out and meet him. That is what the Bible will do. That bride will do. So she will be so ready and waiting for him. She will have one step out of the door when he comes. 5 is warn your loved ones. Now, if your loved ones are not saved, be sure that they leave behind a Bible or a letter of instructions that you should expect after you are gone. There will be a terrible confusion and fear. Their hearts will be broken, and when suddenly you're missing, this will cause many to turn to God. What message which you have left behind will help them at that time? I thought that was good. Leave a letter, a love letter to them, about your belief in Christ. Tell them that you're doing this for them, so that they can make it easy for them to find. Put it with your will, you know, your last testament. Number 6 is give to God now. Pray about what you could do with your finances that you could give and sow seed. Don't leave it for the Antichrist. Be generous with God. The rewards will be great. Get yourself loosened from all things that your heart is hanging on to. And number 7 is set your affection on things above. Be sure that your life is in order. If he would come today, would he find you ready? Let your heart be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Love not the world nor the things that are in it. If you do, it will hold you back. Ask God to set you free from all inordinate affections. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. As far as you are able, make peace with all men. Now, this takes courage. It takes boldness. And, you know, I don't know how it'll all unfold, but I have, according to this, I have a lot of work to do. I think we all have a lot of work to do. And I think the humility, if we're humble with our kids, almost like washing their feet and saying, you know, I love you, I treasure you. There's been lots of battles, lots of misunderstandings, but my heart has always been towards to show you that I love you. And being a step-parent has been even very difficult because everything I did was misinterpreted. and sometimes the enemy, you know, talks in people's ears against you each other. We have to be on guard. That's why being in the Word of God is so important. Because if your mind is washed clean, you're not going to entertain those negative things. But behold the victory when you're missing. When you are gone and you are raptured, know that God is has taken you home. But for me, I would love to know that each one of my family members' name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mm-hmm. And that they will be with Him and know that peace. I mean, just can you imagine? We're fearful already with the virus. Can you imagine when things get really crazy? And how it's even the challenge with the Ukraine and the war over there in Russia, you just think, God, you know, why? The same thing with the Holocaust and all that. We watched a special about some young techie people, whether Jewish or not, I don't know. But they decided to, the remaining survivors of the Holocaust, there's like 55,000, and to capture their testimony. And it's in a digital format, and they've sat them in a room full of lights, and so that they could record their story for all of mankind, for the next generations to come. So they couldn't erase, you know, they're saying that never happened, that's all a lie. I mean, there's so much anti-Semitism. But to hear their stories, because they were children, and they're now in their 80s and 90s, and so they're recording these stories, and just amazing that God loves us so much that He doesn't want us to go there again. I mean, it was pretty bad. But the genocide with the Ukrainians is a very real thing. So what do you got, Neva?
I do have some prayer requests.